Hey, welcome to the Happy Rant Podcast. I am Ted Kluck, joined as always in studio by my good friends, my partners in radio, Barnabas Piper and Ronald J. Martin. Boys, I'm enjoying a hot cup of Redbud City Coffee Roasters while we record. It is literally raining sponsors these days. I'm also wrapped, ensconced in some new fabric from Muskox. Piper, tell us about our new clothing partner, Muskox.
Yeah, so our partner for last episode and this episode is Muskox Men's Muskox, not Muskox. I don't know what that is. Men's apparel. And so it's basically outdoor gear that looks nice enough to wear to your business casual encounters, your Reformed church. Goes well with beards, if that's still a thing you're into. But it really is nice, really high quality gear. So they have flannels, they have pullovers, like the quarter zip kind of things. They have hoodies, they have t-shirts. I think each of us has kind of like one of each thing. And I haven't run across a piece of their gear yet that I don't think is pretty fantastic, to the point where after they sent us some free stuff, I went out and bought a bunch, even though it's not the cheapest, but it is the nicest. It's like the nicest outerwear that I own. I love it. So listeners, if you go to gomuskox.com, that's gomuskox.com, browse their stuff, and then you use the code HAPPYRANT at checkout, you'll get a 15% discount. If you just go browse their stuff, you'll get a sense of the style and the quality. But yeah, all three of us wear it. We all love it. It's really good stuff. GoMuskox.com. Use the code HAPPYRANT. Get a 15% discount. So that's not a tiny discount. 15% is pretty measurable. So check that out.
Absolutely. Fantastic gear, Pipe. I love my stuff too. And it's beards optional. You don't have to have a beard.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I'm like the fresh faced kid over here, and I love their stuff. So, they do allow the non bearded crowd. I'm not sure how they feel about the vulnerability voice crowd, but you know, my guess is they'll take your money.
V-voice optional, yeah, for sure. Pipe, have you ever experimented with a beard? Like when all the Reformed dudes or all the like Christian outdoorsy like North Face guys were growing a beard? Did you ever like experiment with that, like over a break or anything like that?
I mean, it's not even like I don't even have the capacity. That's like asking, have I ever experimented with growing feathers? Like it's just, it's not even a scientific possibility. Yeah. And I've definitely experienced moments of jealousy. Uh-huh. But as I listen to other men go into great detail about beard grooming, I'm super content with the fact that I shave 2 to 4 times a week. Four would be a real week. So it's really nice to not shave and not
absolutely. Baby, what's your beard situation now? Are you rocking a little stubble, or you got the whole thing, or what are we looking at down there?
No, I'm always kind of more of a I do more of a medium, right? I don't like the I don't like the big full super Reformed, super hipstery thing that drops down about 6 inches. That's not me. I need to be a little tidier. I need to feel a little cleaner.
Yeah.
So
you want to look like you have a neck is what you're saying.
I want to look like I have a neck, but I'm also like Pipe in that I was shaving since the age of like, unlike Pipe, I was shaving since the age of like 6.
Really? So you were like early beard guy.
Oh, totally early beard guy. Yeah. I got come from an Italian Portuguese family. Everybody shaved from birth.
Yeah.
And so to me, to not have to shave is like just the greatest gift.
Yeah.
It's kind of like a book I wrote last year, boys, called The Best Gift Ever Given, which, by the way, is back in the sales racks on Harvest House. But the other best gift ever given to me.
It's like a seasonal, and that's a good promo by you, baby. Absolutely.
Did you like that? Was professional work right there. I'm super impressed.
Dude, the thing about shaving, too, for me is it's kind of a hard thing, which reminds me of a great essay collection called The Hard Thing on a Beautiful Day, which I wrote. I've got an exclusive with our little business partner, Amazon.com, and Jeff Bezos. So you can visit his website, www.amazon.com.
Well, I think
did I mention how much? Oh, go ahead, Ronnie.
Well, I was going to say for you, Pipe, I mean, I think when it comes to things like shaving, I mean, we talk about grooming and we talk about just the trials and challenges of being a man. Mm. This world that we live in today. I mean, one of the things that we hope for by not having to shave as much is just a little bit more happiness. And Pipe, you have something to say about that now, don't you?
Yeah, I really, not shaving makes me genuinely happy, which I cover in my latest book, Hoping for Happiness, that released as of earlier this month. So, man, this, who knew that shaving tied to so much literary greatness on this podcast?
Oh, there's such
it's
a tie.
It's really amazing.
So much boring self-promotion. but boys, lest we just self-promote all the live long day, we do have content. Piper, we have launched something for our Patreon. How are
Patreon.
We saying Patreon.
Yeah, it's funny because, yeah, well, they're patrons, so I guess it's Patreon. It sounds Latin, so I think it's very reputable.
It sounds patronizing.
Yeah, well, we sound patronizing, but it sounds reputable.
Mm. Anyway, we've launched a new little podcast series only for our Patreon supporters, in which after we record one of those mini eps, we always reflect on how much better it was than our actual ep. So in the spirit of that, we're just going to go with a longer version of one of those eps. And in that spirit, Pipe, you've got a couple of questions to lay on the group. So let's kick that off, man. Let's get that fired up.
Yeah. So what we've done on those episodes, the two that we've released so far, although at the time that this drops, maybe there will be a third, I just surprise you guys with a single question, and then we all answer this question, chew on it a little bit, and hopefully give our listeners some enjoyment. So that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to surprise you guys with some questions, and I'm going to try to do the kinds of questions that you didn't have to like come with a prepared list of favorites or something like that. Okay, so this is let's tee up one. This is something that all of us have a lot of enjoyment in. What is the best genre of movie?
Ooh.
So just categorically speaking, you're like, oh, I always go back to this genre. It's the best.
Best genre of movie. Wow. Mm. That's good, Pipe. That's a good question. Ronald, do you have anything teed up? And while you're thinking about it, Pipe, did you get the picture of the space that Ronald is in right now?
I did. It made me feel like he's going to end up in a stock photo for an entrepreneurial, like an entrepreneurial stock photo somewhere, or which doubles as a church planting stock photo.
You could Google like stock image side hustle or stock image like hipster church plant, and
if you Google like collaborate,
yeah, it's gonna be urban. Like,
can we talk about something?
Like urban share space, isn't it?
Yes.
When is exposed brick and ductwork going to jump the shark? Because I feel like it's been around since the emergent church.
Never.
So we're talking since the early 2000s. Like, this motif has been in play. I feel like it's got to be about over.
I mean, it's hard to say how brick is ever going to go out of date, but I hear what you're saying, though, T. You
know? Yeah. I mean,
I think it used to be – the reason it became super popular is because it was like reclaimed space, you know,
yes.
So it's a warehouse or whatever, which Ronnie knows a little bit about reclaiming warehouses. And like, it's just kind of, and it's cheap. It's real inexpensive to not do anything with an old warehouse besides like polish the floor and put some new windows in.
Judas,
so
look
I think
at this.
as long as you don't have to spend money, I think it's going to remain in.
This could be the stock photo. There's a little coffee machine in the background. There's like a perfectly diverse group of people, one of whom is laughing. This is really amazing. You should
actually, if you look closer, T, it's Big M. Big M's in the photo.
Is that right? I couldn't
tell.
That's
Big M. Yeah, one of the few females. You know, that's yeah.
Wow. There we go. There we go again.
The League of Men.
Yeah. Yes. Wow.
Michael Ronnie with the misogyny again.
Yeah. You know what they say, Pipe. Teach a man to identify a misogynist and he'll be in
podcast for a lifetime. Yeah.
Yeah, he'll podcast for a lifetime.
Famous words of Big M, man. There's just nothing more fun than misogynists.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I'm sure people are just having a blast with that last episode that we dropped.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I had at least one person reach out and say, hey, it was better than the politics one. So I guess misogyny is better than politics currently.
Dude, misogyny is so much better than politics. I don't even have words other than misogynistic words.
Baby, so where are you right now? Like, you're at a conf, it looks like.
Yeah, so I'm downtown Louisville for the virtual Sojourn Network conf, which, by the way, is no longer Sojourn Network, but we're called Harbor Network. And so this is like we kind of did our big last night.
Now, wait, what was the purpose
did,
for
if, Why did you travel if it's virtual and digital? Do you not know how well the internet works? Yeah, you know how well the internet works.
You just said, why did you travel to Ronnie?
Ronnie Tarmac, please forgive me.
Now, I notice in the picture, Ronald, that like nobody's wearing a mask, nobody's socially distanced. Do you hate people? I mean, you just must not care.
Notice I was standing back from them while I took the photo, judging my wife.
That's right.
No, so the rebrand was Sojourn kind of came out of Sojourn Community Church, and for years now they've wanted to sort of like make a clear distinction between those two things and sort of let the network sort of carry on sort of without that as something that doesn't really, you know, represent our values and mission like it used to. So it was just time to sort of like begin again. So
yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
So it's Harbor now. Did everybody get like a little yachtsman's cap or
absolutely. Let me, yeah,
nautical themed like merch for the rebrand?
It's the compass and the yachtsman's cap.
The compass, the yachtsman's cap for sure.
Yeah, exactly. So it's just like we're out on a sailboat now, just, you know, traversing through the choppy waters of church planning now together is what
it is. Like the officers in the denomination or the network, do they have sort of nautical themes? Is it like captain, first mate, first mate?
There's been so many nautical jokes the last 6 months. It's literally beyond belief. If people would have heard just all the stuff that's been thrown out with this name, it's amazing. Yes.
Well, I mean, nothing says like
when you talk about theology, is it like leaning leeward or starboard?
Oh, dude, 100%. Like anything okay. you've said, you're not going to come up with anything new. We've said it all. It's so ridiculous. Yeah.
Well, I'm proud of you guys for coming up with all the jokes. That's good. You got to ring that out.
Yeah, we've rung it out so that they're not even like new or funny jokes anymore, so that we can actually be serious about the name. Yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
Speaking of serious about things, are you guys going to seriously answer the question I posed, or are we just?
Yeah, man, I'm in. I'm ready.
What do you got, Ronald? Best genre of movies?
So for me, man, I just love. So my fave, man, is I probably have two favorite genres. I really love drama. This is going to be weird, man, but I love scenes in movies of like people sitting around a table talking about things. Mm. You know what I mean? So and again, you can get that in any genre of movie.
Why do you think you love that so much?
I don't know. There's something like comforting and interesting and familiar about that to me. Mm-hmm. So that's why I love Downton Abbey so much, because the whole thing is just filled with conversation, and I love conversation. So I love conversations personally as a man. And I love watching movies of people having like conversations that are like, to me, interesting. But I also love, so that can fit any genre. I get that. Mm-hmm. But you know what I love too is I love kind of twisty, like mysterious, like mystery kind of genre movies. You know, like whether it's a Nolan film or just something where or like even an M. Night Shyamalan. You know, where you just don't know.
Dude, you love Shammy, didn't you?
I do love Sham, and I love Nolan, and I love
the early Sham.
I love that kind of stuff where there's just like there's some twist where you just can't figure it out. You don't know what's going on, and you're just kind of intrigued, like the whole.
Dude, what's your favorite? What's your favorite Shammy film?
If I have to go back to one, if they're all just sitting there and I got to pick one, it's usually a toss up between Unbreakable and The Village.
Yeah, I'm a big The Village guy.
I know that's controversial, T. I think we've talked about that. Most people don't like The Village because there wasn't a twist, but to me, it was the non-twist was the twist.
Yeah. Oh, for sure, yeah. I mean, I feel like there was a big twist in The Village.
Well, you know? Right, but it was like it wasn't
supernatural. It was just
right. Like it was that the monster wasn't really the monster, but yet it's
spoiler alert. Spoiler alert. Dude,
spoiler alert.
You haven't
alert
seen
on
the movie in the last
movie.
2 decades. Yeah.
You know what? I'm the one who reads all the hate mail, so this is me covering my own.
Can we just apologize to you right now for that arduous job of just weeding through all of the hate rant mail?
I'm happy to let you guys do it if you want.
No way, dude. No,
you know what? Okay. Why don't we just let Pipe just continue with the job that God's blessed him with?
Dude, what's our hate mail situation lately? Are you feeling a lot? Has it been higher than usual?
It can't be that bad.
No, we have we almost all of the interactions we get are people with ideas for the show, which I know we don't always do them, listeners, but I do appreciate them because they just generally they kind of show what you guys enjoy. That's great. We occasionally get thank yous. You know, hi, I'm at a church where nobody has a sense of humor and you guys are a lifeline. I feel really bad for those people, but also glad we can help. And then, yeah, like only periodically do we get a lot of fact checking because people are under the assumption we care about accuracy on this podcast. And we don't, which is why we don't research or prepare at all. But yeah, not a lot of hate mail these days. It's actually pretty light. So, yeah,
dude, I'm fascinated by the kind of person that says, huh, I heard something on the podcast I was listening to while mowing the lawn and I know it's wrong. So I'm dropping an email.
Like Big T, can you even imagine caring that deeply about
no,
something?
No, absolutely not. it's a fascinating personality type, and I'm not throwing shade on it. I'm interested in that kind of person because like I would venture to say that none of us are that kind of person.
I wonder what. Like, is there a sense of like the world is a better place because I hit send on that email?
Yeah.
There's a righting of wrongs aspect.
There is.
The world is a. I'm bringing order to chaos.
Yeah. You know? For sure.
This 2020 is an utter disaster, but this is something that I can speak life into.
But at least these yahoos know that M. Night Shyamalan's The Village came out in 2001 and not 1998.
But
you know?
See, there's like that's a personality type though, man. That they just like it bothers them when somebody doesn't get like a technicality. Like yeah. they go off on the technicalities, man. And it's just like,
yeah, go ahead, Pipe.
As I said, I feel like it's always something that hits close to home. So, you know, we get a fact wrong. Like I said something about, I don't know, it was in several episodes and it was about Friends and I got a character's name wrong. It was like Janet or Janice and I got him confused and I got called out for it. Because Friends is near and dear to somebody's heart. So this isn't sure. They're not just like fact-checking us like some nerdy researcher, but if you get the fact wrong about the thing they care about, yeah. Oh boy.
But that's just a funny thing, though, isn't it? Because to me, it's always like, dude, you didn't like write that episode of Friends. Like, you know, it's like if somebody says, oh, you know, the fourth gospel of Jonah in the Bible, I'd be like, yeah, cool. You know, I mean, it's like...
Well, it's weird. I mean, there are things that we all would... agree that are important to get right. Right. I mean, we're all the kind of people who I think end of the day, we're defending, you know, certain theological ideas. But yeah, maybe in light of that, everything that seems trivial just doesn't seem worth defending. I don't know.
That's what I'm saying. It's like, yeah. It's one thing to say like you're intentionally kind of like twisting something or you're coming at something from a perspective that can be debated or disagreed with. It's another thing if you're Pipe and you're talking about like this old sitcom and you screw up one of the names and somebody wants to take the time to correct that is just verging on insanity to me.
It is. But it's part and parcel with the world we live in.
Live in and life in general, Big T.
It really is. It is, baby. Don't you wish we could
movie genres?
Don't you wish we could harken back to a simpler time, like the age of Downton Abbey, where
yes,
it was much harder to correct someone, right? You had to sit down at your like teak like bureau and write a handwritten letter and put it in the mail, and you know your butler would have to drive it to the post office. I mean, it was a lot of work back then.
But Big T, what about? But check it out. And we're not obviously. Don't worry, Pipe. We're not doing an abs episode right now. But
no.
You know what's crazy about Downton is like you notice that like they were saying wrong things all the time, and the response that people had was to not respond. That was the response.
Can you imagine an era in which people didn't respond to every single thing?
To me, the greatest response is no response.
Well, I think that's the kind of gentility of that era. And I find myself more and more being drawn to, I think this is my answer to Pipe's question 20 minutes later, period pieces, like films about other periods of time where people were less plugged in, less connected. Mm-hmm. The world was less electronic. Your life was more about the people in your life and less about like some amorphous, faceless audience that you were trying to interact with. And I don't know, I'm drawn to that. Like, I just
mean like what we're doing every week on the pod.
Well, yeah, dude, right. I mean, I don't know. And I like doing this, but if it went away tomorrow, I wouldn't be crushed. No offense, but I mean, I enjoy it, but it's weird in that, you know, especially in the absence of live shows, like I always look forward to the live shows because it was a chance to
totally
like humanize our audience a little bit. You know what I mean? It was a chance to put names with faces and a chance to, you know, just connect and laugh with people in person, which was awesome.
And have
and
no
people
fear.
Could get up
back. Those will come back.
Get up at the microphone and correct us to our faces instead of sending a tweet.
Exactly. It was so much more efficient, you know, that way. But yeah, like time travel, period pieces. I'm a fan of those kinds of movies. I think one that we share, Bigar, is sports. Sports as a genre, you know, just the kind of redemptive stories that come out of a sports context. I'm always a fan of that kind of genre.
Those are very drama driven to me, though.
They are dramatic. Yeah, they're always dramatic.
There's way more time off the field talking about the field than there is on the field.
The movie that we share, I think, the most affection for, you know, collectively, you and me, is Moneyball. And Moneyball is nothing if not a people sitting around a table talking movie.
Yeah, there's literally like two scenes out on the field.
That's it. And they're the most boring two scenes of the movie, I would argue.
Right.
With the exception of Hattie's home run, spoilers.
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah, no argument.
Yeah, no argument there. But yeah, that's kind of the ultimate dialoguing around a table movie written by Aaron Sorkin, who's the kind of the king of that kind of dialogue. Piper, what about you? Favorite movie genre?
It kind of depends on state of mind. Mm-hmm. I tend to watch movies to turn my brain off.
Sure.
Which means that the more like emotionally intense movies are ones I have to kind of get in the right frame of mind for, you know, so
yeah.
Real intense dramas. I don't dislike them. It's just like I have to be geared up for those. Heist movies, by and large, are ones that I always enjoy. A bad heist movie is still fun to me, you know,
yeah.
And I don't even know what a bad heist movie is. It's kind of like saying a bad pun. It's like you either enjoy these or you don't, but there's not a bad version of them, I don't think.
Dude, now I want to go in on this for a second and ask a couple of follow-up questions because I like heist movies too. Why is it that we're so enamored with the idea of theft? Because if somebody said to, you know, any of us, you know, go steal something this afternoon, we would I'm sure we would all say no. But yet if somebody said to us, go sit down and watch a movie for 2 hours about some guys who steal stuff, and you're going to really like the guys and root for them. Like what's happening there?
That's a good question. Cause that, every enjoyable heist movie, the bad guys are the good guys. It's like either there's a Robin Hood theme or it's like, it's a less bad guy robbing a more bad guy. So, you know, it's a career criminal robbing a drug lord. You're like, well,
Danny
of
Ocean
kills
robbing Terry Benedict, you know, who's just slightly worse than Danny Ocean.
Yeah, he's basically a casino boss mobster, and Danny Ocean is like a clever petty criminal. And so there's a bit of a David and Goliath, except you're like, but God's not on either of their side.
I mean, you could argue that Terry Benedict has the more legitimate day job. Like, at least he files a W-2 and, you know, lives mostly above board.
Terry Benedict was not really the villain. He just wasn't a really great dude to Julia Roberts, right?
Yeah, he was not a great boyfriend to Julia Roberts.
He was a bad boyfriend.
Right,
that was his crime.
Exactly.
There was a twisted rationale that, like, casinos are taking other people's money in there. And so there's a, like, it doesn't hurt them. The house always wins. So maybe we can win this round kind of thing.
Right.
I don't know. I think there's sort of a like a clever puzzle solving, like what can you get away with kind of thing. It feels the way that a heist movie is portrayed usually has more to do with like what the good ones. So the ones that don't make you feel slimy, and most of them don't, is the person being robbed isn't really harmed by this, or they deserve to be harmed by this. They're either a terrible person, or it's like the great train robbery. It was like payroll. They were robbing a payroll, so it was the government's money. And, you know, robbing the government, whatever. They've been robbing us for years. like that's sort of the stance of it. And then there's just sort of the clever, like, the underdog winning kind of thing. And then there's this whole clever plot, like, who do they have to fool? Who do they have to trick? All the moving pieces have to come together, so there's a touch of suspense. There's way more room for humor in a heist movie than there is, say, in, like, a war movie. And I like historic war movies. I don't love the ones about, like, Iraq and Afghanistan. Those hit a little close to home. But World War I, World War II, Vietnam, et cetera. But those are not fun movies. Those are, you know, those are intense movies. Whereas heist movies are always like, yeah, there's kind of no harm done in the end. Like, it's kind of what it feels like.
What about the intensity of those types of war movies? What do you think appeals to you about those?
The same things that you were saying about sports movies, I find to be true about war movies. I don't like sports movies by and large because I love sports and everything. It's interesting to me that, Ted, that you do like them. Because yeah. When we do the sports podcast, the stuff that you gripe about is all the non-sports stuff that gets attached to sports.
Oh, yeah.
And I feel like sports movies are all the stuff about sports that I find uninteresting. I don't care about the players' personal lives. I don't care about the – like Moneyball was different because it had to do with the sport. It just had to do with the behind-the-scenes ownership aspect.
Yeah, yeah.
I feel like war movies do everything you guys said about the kind of the drama, the interpersonal aspects, the brotherhood, the mission, the whatever it is, in a more concentrated form, and a form that I find, you know, there's sort of a genuine heroism in it. Whereas sports is like win or lose, you're not really a hero, you're an athlete. So,
well, and with war movies and heist movies, I think there's the aspect of it allows you to experience something that you actually hope to never experience in real life.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly. Yeah. There's an aspirational heroism there where you're like, man, it would be amazing to be that kind of hero. I hope I never have to be. Yeah. You know, I don't ever want to be in a car chase with 42 cops in, you know, trying to get away from a heist. I don't want to be running through rifle fire. That doesn't sound at all interesting to me, but huge respect to those who do,
no doubt.
Do it out of necessity. So yeah, I think both of those genres are ones that I tend to enjoy. I do like historical period pieces as well. That all depends on the writing though. You know, like it's not a genre I would say I like regularly. It really has to be written well in terms of the dialogue, the pacing, et cetera. But those are ones I enjoy a lot more now than I did, you know, 5 or 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Nice. One more follow-up question, and then we'll get Piper's second question for us, Big R. Baby, have you seen the BBC's Pride and Prejudice? Have we talked about this? The, like, six-part Colin Firth thing?
Yeah. Is it recent? Is it new?
No, dude, no. It's, like, 20 years old.
Yeah, it's old, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I think I saw it a long time ago, so I probably don't remember a lot about it.
It's the only Pride and Prejudice I ride with. And
really?
I just wondered if you felt the same way about it.
I mean, are you talking about, like, so wait a minute, was it like a BBC made for TV thing? Or
dude, it was a BBC, like, miniseries circa 20 years ago. And it had, like, Colin Firth, Jennifer Eel, and it's great. Like, it's a really good Pride and Prejudice adaptation compared to the newish one, the one with Keira Knightley that came out a few years ago, which KK and I were both kind of meh about.
Which I actually like that one, but I do remember the Firth one. But again, I saw it so long ago, I don't remember it. But I might need to dig it back up.
Yeah, revisit, baby, and let me know what you think.
Because I like Firth, man. In those roles, he's just the king.
Dude, Firth just kills it in those roles. Yeah, and this is a great one for him, for sure.
Nice. I appreciate the tip. The pro.
Well,
tip.
No problem, baby. Yeah, no problem. Pipe, do you have another question for us?
I do. Let's see here. Okay, let's go to let's bring it into the home front. What is the best piece of parenting advice you've ever received? And best being something that's memorable that helped you. You know, you don't have to list any number, but a piece of parenting advice that you thought, man, that changed my trajectory as a parent, or encouraged me when things were really crappy.
Wow. Things are really kind of crappy right now, so it's hard to put myself in the headspace of a successful parent at this very moment. But man, I got to think about that for a second. Big R, do you have one that like immediately hops to mind?
Yeah, for sure. One sticks out.
Yeah, take it away.
Pretty long for me. It was It was a few years ago, and it was from a pastor who I won't say his name, but I think a lot of us have, you know, have a little bit of connection with him, and he basically me and Stephen were hanging.
Yeah,
he was on his futon.
Yeah, it was great. Yeah, yeah, we both had a futon, and I think it was this man. It was having a little bit of an older kid, and talking about how you get to a place with your kid where the relationship has shifted and you have a hard time making that transition because, you know, with our kids, we kind of keep them at this like 8-year-old kind of like age bracket for way too long. We have the tendency to do that as parents because it's safe. You can still tell them what to do, quote unquote. You still feel like you can protect them. Yeah. And one of the greatest, words of advice I got was to let them go, like in a way that says, hey, you are really trusting the Lord for their life, their salvation, for the trajectory of the future. And, and if you can start praying that way and giving their lives over to the Lord and letting things go that are really unhelpful that you continue to hang on to in a way that is actually damaging the relationship. And it's keeping you sort of constantly unsettled and just thinking like, man, I got to have my hands over every situation. I got to really be, you know, far more smothering than I need to be. And I think just, again, it wasn't something that just changed everything, but it gave me a way to pray and a way to let things go in a way that was going to create greater health between me and my daughter in terms of our relationship. And then even just me and Big M, you know, and how we parented. So it helped us shift our parenting and how we think of our parenting a little bit. So that was super helpful for us.
Yeah, no, that's good, man. Yeah, I think for us, a couple of things, like one, And these are trite. They're not groundbreaking, but taking time to remain like a married couple in the midst of all the parenting battles you have to go through. And especially now as our boys, the dynamic is different, right? They're not little kids anymore. They're both teenagers. And, you know, in the little kid years, we were just like gritting our teeth and trying to get to bedtime. But now it's like the problems, the issues are more nuanced. They're more at the heart level. It feels more comprehensive in that you can kind of keep talking about these things indefinitely with your spouse, right? And I think we've realized that it's really profitable to like sometimes put a moratorium on talking about the kids and their problems and, you know, just remind ourselves that we enjoy each other, we enjoy being married, we enjoy having a family. We don't have to solve all the problems tonight or this morning or whatever. And just remembering that, you know, one of the best things we can do for our kids is to keep enjoying each other and keep having a healthy marriage. And, you know, so that's been really helpful. But I think the other thing is just modeling commitment to the local church for your kids, you know, so our kids seeing us, you know, being involved, staying committed to stuff, even when it doesn't feel good, or even when you're too tired to go to small group or whatever, they've really embodied that, you know, and I've seen it, especially in our oldest son, like remaining committed to youth group, even when it doesn't always feel fun, which we go to a Reformed church. So youth group is just another like hour and 15 minute long sermon. So, sometimes it doesn't feel fun. But all kidding aside, we love it and they love the local church now. And, just seeing their commitment to it has been really joyful.
That's awesome, man. Good
yeah,
work.
For sure.
Pipe, man, I think the thing that I appreciate about all of the advice that you guys just shared that was shared with you is that none of it was like it's not technique stuff. It's more like perspective, which the same thing is true for the ones that stand out to me. They're not like do this with your kids and life will be better kind of thing because I don't know that that works. Both of them are perspective. So the first was you know, when my girls were really little, being reminded that the kids are not the hinge on which life turns. They're part of a life that like God's already given you. You know, you have a direction, you have whether it's a call or whatever. So you fold the kids into it, you give them all the necessary devotion, attention, love, affection, but you just you can't center your life on your kids, or you become kind of a shell of yourself and they become a pretty twisted version of themselves, and they can't, a child is not made to bear the expectations and pressures of a parent, you know, like they need the parent to bear them.
Yeah.
So that was a big one. Just kind of, it took a lot of pressure off of how are my kids turning out, so to speak.
Yeah.
Because it puts, they're not the most important defining factor. The second one was when they were about that same age, somebody just reminded me, don't get into the mindset of missing the days before, you know? Mm-hmm. So, you know, as your kids grow out of the cute phase, which is usually about like around the time they start school, they just stop being adorable and they turn into elementary school kids, which are not adorable. They're annoying. And, but they're more fun in a lot of ways. And that was the perspective, was like, recognize the cool things that happen when your kids get older so that you can keep enjoying being a parent. And, you know, that I'd say fits and starts for me on that one. But my daughters are almost 15 and almost 12 now. And I enjoy being their dad more now, even though those ages bring their own sets of challenges. Rather than, like, my mom sent a whole bunch of pictures to me yesterday from when the girls were, you know, 3 and 6 or something.
Yeah.
And they were really cute and fun and great memories, but I wasn't sort of sucked back into, oh, I miss those days so much. It was more just like, I'm grateful for those days. Also, I get to teach my daughter to drive this year, which is terrifying, but like, that's cool. It's cool.
It's awesome, man. It's so fun.
Launch her into the world and stop having her ask me to take her places and those kinds of things. So I think that just those two perspectives have been helpful to kind of order life well in terms of expectations for the kids and placed on them and for myself, and then finding the enjoyment of being a dad of teenage girls, which, you know, everybody was like, oh, teenagers, it's going to be rough. And I'm like, yeah, maybe. But maybe it'll be way more fun than having an 8 and an 11-year-old.
Pipe, it can be super fun, man. Yeah, because they're getting to an age where, like, the conversations begin to expand. And you guys can share a lot of the – maybe you've experienced this already, but, like, it's kind of fun when you start you can share, like, the same interests rather than kind of having to, like, duck yourself down to some of the things that they like because they're, you know, they're a little more elementary, you know, in nature. I think it can be super fun.
Yeah, I think that's true. I think watching them like learn how to have a sense of humor, because kids are funny by accident, but when they grow into like they're clever, they're witty, they kind of put you in your place. Like, you know, probably once or twice a week, one of my daughters says something that's just like a shot across the bow of, you know, kind of reminding me that they're really smart and I'm not always the smartest guy in the room. And I love it. It's so fun.
I'm still waiting for that to happen with my kid, but yeah, but I totally get what you're saying.
You're like still the smartest guy in the room.
Correct. Yeah, no.
Well, yeah, but she's the smartest person in the room. So stop with the misogyny, Ronnie.
Oh, there it goes.
Here we are, guys. Let me just talk to you about a little thing called misogyny here for a few minutes.
Oh, we're mansplaining now. This is wonderful,
dude. He doesn't even have his doctorate yet, and he's mansplaining. I love it.
I've only been reminded mansplained of that to men.
That's
times.
Not how it works.
Dude, where is Jared at with the whole misogyny thing? Is he like enjoying having that conversation with you, or is he a little uncomfortable about it?
I think Jared C would be you know, he's pretty anti the misogyny thing, you know.
So you guys are having fun with that at the same
time. Oh, that's all
like, you're discovering it.
We discover it together. It's all we talk about.
Yeah.
I just say, have a misogynistic Monday, Jared.
It's so fun to discover things together in a relationship.
It is, man. It comes out everywhere.
I mean, that's what the one guy said to me in the context of my marriage, but for you and Jared C. in the context of whatever it is you guys have going on.
I mean, what could be healthier than a friendship based on misogyny?
Yeah, it's super
fun. It just sounds so idyllic.
Yeah, it's super fun. We're shopping at Madewell together now and everything. It's sweet.
Oh, he upgraded from TJ Maxx, huh?
Yeah, he has. He's hanging out with Big R now, so there are new standards that are needing to be put into place.
Dude,
you do a pod with Big R, there's some standards, you know.
Is Piper, this is for you. is Jared going to slowly start to dress like Big R, or is Big R going to slowly start to dress like Jared? You know how in a friend...
Not to be offended by that latter comment right now.
No. You know how in a friend group, like, subtly the dynamic shifts to, like, whoever the alpha is? I mean, as a expert in misogyny now, you don't see alphas. I get that. But, Pipe, who do you think changes their style to suit the other in this relationship?
It's unbelievable that question's being asked right now.
I mean, the thought of Ronnie changing his style is completely on the table if you go back and look historically at photos of him. However, I think he's arrived at a place where his sartorial stylings are pretty locked in. Like, I think Ronnie's probably going to dress pretty much like this until he's dead. And so I think there's a strong gravitational pull for Jared to, like, lose the cargo shorts and move in the direction of, you know, Ronnie's multiple jackets and leather boots and the like.
There's a time when you need to enter into, and this is obviously my philosophy as a man, there's a time when you need to enter into the classic phase of stylistic integrity.
I don't know I've never seen Jared in real life, so I don't know how big he is compared to you, but are you guys, like, sharing clothes now? Can he, like, does he have dibs? Can he go into your closet and take, like, a faux military jacket whenever he feels like it?
We're not at that place. All things being equal, we're not at that place.
So you're really not all that good of friends yet.
Well, I mean, now I'm going down an awkward road here that I'm gonna have to have a follow-up convo with Jared about, like I did that last time. So, yeah, let's do it. Keep rolling.
We're 41 minutes deep into this thing. That was two questions, Piper. Did you have a third, or is that good for today?
I think that's good for today. I think that gives the listeners – well, listeners, we are a little bit more focused on the Patreon ones. You know, we usually answer the question and land the thing, as opposed to rambling about, I don't know, whatever we got into, emails correcting us aquatic themed churches and the like, but I think we're good.
In honor of Ron's new denomination, it's time to bring this ship into the shore, Piper. It's time to bring it into the harbor.
Beautifully done.
Yeah, I know, dude.
Beautifully done.
I'm just thinking,
let's make sure we do that before the ship has sailed.
Oh well, there we go. Piper and I will expect some. We're going to expect some new harbor church swag. So. I'll look for my sailor's cap in the mail.
It's coming your way already. Look in your mailbox,
Ted,
right?
Would you say that we're bringing this thing into the harbor where we dwell? Is that
Piper? See, that's just good radio. Tell us about Dwell Bible, Piper.
Oh well, I wasn't even thinking of Dwell Bible. Would you look at that? Dwell is our other sponsor for this episode. So the Dwell Bible app, the audio Bible app that we've partnered with for several months. Listeners will be familiar with it, but this is just an encouragement to go check out Dwell. If you go to dwellapp.io/happyrant, there's a place where you can subscribe. It's a 20% discount off of the annual subscription, so it is less than $2 a month. And it's a great way to be in the Word and to get the Word into kind of the margins of your life, whether it's commuting or working out or doing chores or whatever it is, where it's, you know, it doesn't take the same focused attention as it would to sit down and read, although we encourage you to do that too. So you can kind of build it into your life a little bit more. So again, go to dwellapp.io/happyrant, check it out. They have listening plans, they have multiple narrators, they have musical backgrounds, they have a bunch of different features that help you memorize, study, etc. So check them out today also.
Piper, solid work as always. We love Dwell Bible. And baby, listen, you go back into your brick and duct work place there, do lots of good brainstorming, draw on some glass. Is that glass available to be drawn on, the glass that I see in the picture? Can you draw like arrows and flow charts and stuff on there?
Absolutely. I'm literally surrounded by flow charts right now.
Oh, man. Well, go be creative. Make some ideas. And Piper and I will go back to doing whatever it is that we do. And we've done what we always done. We've done what we always do on this program, in that we've wandered to and fro throughout some topics. And until next time.
The Happy Rant is brought to you by Resonate Recordings. If you go to resonaterecordings.com, you can see the full range of services they offer. So if you're considering starting a podcast, they are the ones we recommend going with. Again, go to resonaterecordings.com to see their prices, to connect with them and ask any questions, and to see what they can do to help you launch, edit, master, and improve your podcast. Again, go to resonaterecordings.com to see what they can do to help you launch and improve your podcast.
These EPs find their way into the hands of Chris Tomlin. And so we got this email out of the blue that, well, he was inviting us to go on this major arena tour of the United States. And at that time, we were like, well, we're not even really a band. Do we tell him we're not a band?
Chris Llewellyn from Wren Collective shares some of his life story on The Walk, a podcast for worshipers. Join us to hear conversations and devotionals from the artists of the church. Find The Walk on lifeaudio.com, worshipleader.com, or your favorite podcast platform.